So glad that you're here. Welcome. I sense that things are a little bit heavy. I sense that things are a little bit heavy. There's a lot going on in the world right now. There's a lot of things that are on our mind. But how many of you know that the presence of God is what makes the difference? It's what helps us to continue to go forward, to continue to move on, to carry on and carry forward. And as we sing today, the King of Heaven, King of Heaven, the Lion and the Lamb, He's our cornerstone, He's our rock. And so today, as we get into the Word, as we go before the Lord and receive from His Word, I want us to be reminded that things here may happen. We understand that evil exists, but we know that God is greater. And that is the foundation upon which we stand. So would you stand with me this morning as we open up the Word? The opening passage is found in the book of 1 Corinthians. We have scriptures on the slides, but if you want to follow along and you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can go there and find the event here at 24/7 Church. All the scriptures references are there as well. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and then verse 4 through 14 says this: Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I thank you that every time that we open up your word, we can receive fresh from you. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would use me as your vessel this morning, and Lord, that you would guide our every step. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be reseated. Concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. That's what Paul said. And he's not calling us ignorant. He's saying he doesn't want us to be without knowledge, without understanding. Diversities of gifts. He says that there are diversities of gifts. He says that there are differences of ministries. And he says that there are diversities of activities. The first thing that we need to take from this scripture is that in the body of Christ is that we are all different. Take a moment, look around you. We're all different. Just in case you didn't know that, we are all different. We look different. We feel different. We see things differently. There are differences between us, and that's okay. It's a good thing. I know that that sounds like I'm stating the obvious, but we really need to get this. We need to understand this point as believers, as Christians, because most people spend their lives trying to get others to walk like them, to talk like them, to act like them, to think like them. That's not at all what Jesus told us to do. When Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples," He wasn't saying that we should make people into our image. The Apostle Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Another way of putting it is to say, "Follow Christ just as I also am following Christ." Paul said, I don't want to know anything about you except your faith in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Y'all, we are on a mission. And it is so easy to get distracted from that mission. I'm the first to admit I have an opinion about most things. If my wife was in here, she would be amening really loud right now. She's down there with the kiddos. Can't tell you the number of times that I've wanted to express my opinions and I have had to bite my tongue, or I've had to hit delete instead of post. It's so easy to get distracted. We are called to pray. Pray, pray, pray. We live in this great United States of America, and so we're called to vote. Vote, vote, vote. But we cannot let ourselves get sucked into the narratives that distract from the mission and that hurt us in the long run. I think that deserves an amen. All right, there you go. Jesus said, make disciples, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. How many times did Jesus have to redirect the Jewish leaders? Remember when they would say, why don't your disciples wash their hands, do the ceremonial washing of hands? And Jesus had to remind them, it's not what goes in, but what comes from within that defiles you. How many times did we hear this? Why are you healing on the Sabbath? Why are you healing on the Sabbath? That's work. Jesus said, I'm just doing the work of my Father. Why are you hanging out in bars and talking to prostitutes? Jesus said, the sick are the ones who need a doctor. I have come to seek and save the lost. Luke chapter 7, verse 34, Jesus speaking, he says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, friend of tax collectors and sinners. The point of all of this is to remind us that often the things that Jesus commanded are altogether different from the things that we think are important. We major on the minors and minor on the majors. Meanwhile, there's a world that is going to hell. Think about the distractions. If y'all have been around church for any length of time, I'm sure you've heard these. Her hair is too short, his hair is too long. Her clothes are too tight, his pants are too loose. She's got tattoos, he's got piercings. Their language is a little too salty. They vote the wrong way. They're white, they're black, they're brown. They're not from Texas. I just meddled. I'm sorry about that. We even fight among ourselves. You know, within the church, she speaks in tongues, he doesn't speak in tongues, you know. We argue about when Jesus is coming back, you know, pre-trib, trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Trib is short for tribulation. You know, we don't sing enough hymns. The music is too loud. Do we sing too long? It's too hot. It's too cold. It's in the pot 9 days old. I don't know. I mean, seriously, y'all. We've got to do better if we're going to really be the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ. If we are to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we are to be his church, We must learn to follow his example and obey what he commands. That's what 24/7 church means. It means that we are called to be the church every moment of our lives, reflecting Jesus wherever we may be. Let me say, Pastor Josh, what does this have to do with the opening passage? Why are we talking about this? I'm about to share with you concerning spiritual gifts. But before I can do that, I want us to clearly understand the foundation of Christ so that we can understand the purpose of the gift. Throughout my life, I have seen countless Christians do more harm than good because they discovered their gift, but they didn't know how to use it. They didn't know what it was for. Their lack of understanding and immaturity has been the result of many who have lost faith and walked away from God and his church. I'm sure when I'm saying this, your minds, if you've been around any of this at any point, your minds are thinking about people who got turned off to God and turned off to church because something weird that they saw or something that happened, that somebody came up to them. Maybe you were one of those that just were like, if that's what it is, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Too often, those who received an important or an impartation of the Holy Spirit let the power go to their heads. They became unteachable, filled with pride. They wear their spiritual gift like a badge. They seek public recognition. They attempt to control others by placing themselves as a spiritual authority. Their self-righteous bigotry, I know I'm speaking really harshly, but you have to hear this, disqualifies them because they are trying to control God's power rather than yield to him. If we are to be the church empowered by God's Spirit, we must be yielded to his authority. Family, there is nothing more that I want than for God's presence to empower his church. Each and every day, my heart cries for Emmanuel, the manifest presence to manifest himself in our midst. For years, I have interceded for this body to live and to operate in the fullness of the power of Christ. I long to see us, just like the church of Acts, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, storming the gates of hell, bringing freedom to the captive and sight to the blind, healing the brokenhearted, declaring the day of salvation of our God, because I believe that Jesus is coming back soon. I believe that there is one more great revival coming, just as the prophet Joel declared, and it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. God is about to pour out his Spirit like never before. The prophet Joel declared that it would be like the spring rain and the autumn rain together. This is the last great awakening for God's church before that trumpet sounds. There is a voice that is crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make ready the highway for our God. I can see the archangel getting ready even now for that moment when he will let out a mighty shout Christ announcing the return of the Lord. The day is getting closer. The day of Christ's return is near. The time of preparation is at hand. Jesus is coming back for his church. He is coming back for his body. He is coming back for his bride. It is time to get ready. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Are you ready? Church, it is time to get ready. Jesus is coming. Come on, give the Lord praise. On the day that Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, go and wait for the promise. Go wait for the promise. You know, interestingly, this today is the day that many churches celebrate the ascension of Christ. I don't know if you're aware of that. But he said, go and wait for the promise. When you have received the promised Holy Spirit, he said, you will be my witnesses. Say witnesses. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. When the power of the Holy Spirit is not actively in control of your life, actively in control of your life, you are not a witness of Christ. Does that make sense? When the power of the Holy Spirit is not actively in control of your life, you are not a witness of Christ. The Holy Spirit in you empowers you as a witness. How many of you remember that saying, what would Jesus do? Remember that? The bracelets we had, WWJD, the shirts, you know, the ball caps, the sticker on the back of our car as we cut in front of somebody and hit our brakes and flick them off. As we were going on, I don't know that I ever did that. I don't recall. If Jesus is in the room, and someone was sick and asked to be healed, what would Jesus do? If Jesus was in the room and there was someone being tormented by evil spirits in their thoughts, in their dreams, and they cried out to him for help, what would Jesus do? If Jesus was in the room and there was someone filled with the guilt and the shame of their past mistakes and failures, and they didn't even have words left, and all they could do is weep at his feet, what would Jesus do? If Jesus was in the room and there was someone here who felt lost and wanted to come to Jesus but didn't feel worthy, so they just watched from a distance, just like Zacchaeus in the Bible, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus lives inside of you? So then the question becomes, what would Jesus have you do? What would Jesus have you do? Pastor, I just don't have that much faith. I can't heal anybody. I can't cast out a demon. I can't invite strangers to my house? I'm not a counselor. I can't put broken people back together. Now you are beginning to understand. My friends, when you come to the realization that your best efforts will always fall short, you are finally at a place where God can use you. The 3.5 years that Jesus spent with his disciples before his crucifixion was a process of him breaking them down. Think about it. I want you to think about this. They weren't learning the tricks of the trade. They weren't getting the inside scoop. The time that Jesus spent with his disciples before his crucifixion was a process of him breaking them down. Think about the words he said. Where's your faith? How many times did he say that? Oh, ye of little faith, where is your faith? Why did you doubt? Remember the time when they came to him because they were trying to, they couldn't heal the kid, he started out by saying, you don't have very much faith. What's going on here? But then he said, nevertheless, this doesn't come out but much prayer and fasting. What else was he saying in that? You're not committed to this. Think about the time that Peter blurted out, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus praised him. But what was the words that Jesus said? What did Jesus say? Blessed are you, Simon. That's not you. Right? It's basically, he said, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, you have no clue what you're saying. My Father in heaven is speaking through you right now. You have no idea what you're doing or what you're saying. How about the time whenever Jesus had to tell him, hey, get behind me, Satan. I mean, imagine that, looking at somebody going, get behind me, Satan. Remember the time when they were all rejoicing? They came back because they had been out there. They'd been healing sick people and seeing demons cast out and all kinds of things. And they were all, you know, hyped. And they came back shouting and you know, just celebrating, going, man, even the demons were subject to us. And he looks at them all and says, hey, I saw Satan fall out from heaven like lightning. Why are you so shocked about this? Why are you amazed by this? He says, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Focus in on your salvation. Focus in on who you're called to be. Focus in on the fact that you are a child of God. Rejoice in that. So many different times, even to the point where he stood there and said to them, when he was about to be crucified, he said, you are all going to leave me. You are all going to abandon me. Jesus literally broke them down to the point that they were all hiding in a basement when he was crucified. Jesus had to get them to the place where they realized that they did not know what to do or what to say. When they finally stopped trying to do things their way, Jesus said, I'm leaving. But I have all power. So I'm sending you to be my witnesses. But you need my power inside of you So go wait in Jerusalem until you receive the gift. Then you will be my witnesses, because it won't be your power. It will be me inside of you. Do you get it? Do you see now? It's not what Jesus, what would Jesus do? It's what would Jesus have you do? The gift of the Holy Spirit is not to empower you. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not to empower you. I know that's surprising for a minute. But the gift of the Holy Spirit is the power of Christ in you to do the will of the Father. Have you ever said something like this? Well, the Holy Spirit can use me, but I'm not about to go do that tongue-speaking thing. Or how about this? My gift is prophecy. Don't ask me to evangelize. Or this one, my gift is teaching. Don't ask me to serve and use the weed eater on Saturdays. That's for you, Chester. The guys are out there all the time cutting the grass and doing things, and I really appreciate them. So if you guys, if there's anybody, yes, let's give them a round of applause for what they do. Thanks, Jim, and so many of the others, Ted. But hey, if y'all need, look, I think the youngest one that's out there is what, like 70-some? 74. I mean, come on, y'all. So if there's ever a moment where we can spend a couple hours on a Saturday morning, want to come out here and help, man, they would just be tickled pink, right? That's pretty much the way it would be. Yeah, they would be so happy and grateful for that. Okay, that was just a little commercial. Okay. Where was I? So, Jesus had to break his disciples down to the point where they recognized that it was not their strength, but it was his. I want us to look at this opening passage again. And I'm going to read through it again. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So he says that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. He says, but one in the same Spirit works all these things as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all of the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, say one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. The biggest misinterpretation of this scripture is mistaking a manifestation, a ministry, an activity as your gift. The gift within you is the Holy Spirit. The gift within you is the Holy Spirit. It is the same God who works all in all, and the same Spirit works all these things as He wills. The purpose of the indwelling presence of Christ, the purpose of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, is to empower you to be the hands and feet and mouthpiece of Christ. We are called to be the body of Christ. We are called to be His ecclesia, His church, but we need the power of His indwelling presence so that we can do and say what He would do and say. Now, I'm going to take just a moment to kind of paraphrase, because the book of Corinthians can at times be a really difficult book to understand. And I, as much as I encourage people to read the Bible, I think that the book of Corinthians is one of those books that it needs somebody to help you to understand a lot of things to really understand it. And so I encourage you to read it, but understand that there are things within the book, and it is one of the most unique books, and I will tell you this, because it is a response. Did you know that? The book of Corinthians is a response to a letter that was sent to Paul. But we don't get the privilege of seeing what was written in that letter to him. So he's dealing with a lot of specific issues that were going on in that church where they had all these questions and they were saying, this is happening and this is happening and this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. What do we do about all of this? And so his response was the book of Corinthians to the church of Corinth, responding to them. And so there are things that can be difficult to understand if you don't have it in the correct context. But I just want to paraphrase for you about spiritual gifts. Will you let me do that? Okay. So I'm just going to read a little bit. But he said, y'all are all just doing your own thing with no real understanding. Well, he was from Texas, apparently. There is no order. And everybody just wants to be seen and heard. You've got one guy over here giving a word in tongues. You've got two people giving words of prophecy at the same time. And Sister Wilma is on the piano singing in the spirit. Meanwhile, you've got a couple of new guests sitting on the back row. One is having a major family problem, crisis, and the other is struggling with suicidal thoughts. And nothing that you are doing is helping anybody. All that you are doing is stroking your own egos. The guests that showed up look around and think to themselves, what kind of circus is this? They walk away still bound by their addictions and problems instead of being set free by the power of the love of Christ, never to return. Then he says this, check your heart. What is your motivation? If the gift, if the manifestation, if the ministry, the activity is not an expression of the love of Christ, then you're out of order. He says, desire more gifts. Desire to be used by God in greater ways. But always let God's love be your motivation, because you are a member of the body of Christ. You are called to be an extension of grace. That's what he said. God wants to use you. He wants to heal people through you. He wants to set people free through you. He wants to restore people through you. God wants to use you just as he used his son Jesus on this earth. Your place of grace is that you are a child of God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are His children. If you're God's child, you are a member of His family. If you are a member of His family, you are a member of His body. You are a member of His church. In order to stay in your place of grace, embracing the fullness of your identity as a child of God, you must live under the authority of the same power that lived in Christ. Jesus wants to live through you. Jesus wants to seek and save the lost. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to bring freedom to the captive. He wants to open blind eyes. He wants to bring restoration to individuals and to families and to this world. But He's not here. He is not physically here on this earth. He needs you. He needs me. He needs us to open ourselves to Him and be His body. But we need Him. We need His power to work through us so that we can be His witnesses. Don't limit yourself. Let Him use you as He wills. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of what? Profit of all. Profit of all. It's not for your benefit. It's not so you can wear it like a badge. It's not so you can stroke your ego. It's not so that on one day of the week for 90 minutes, you can use your spiritual gift. You shall be witnesses after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Stop trying to use your gift inside the church. Get out in the world and be a witness. As we're closing this morning, I just want you to know that I have just had this burning on my heart. When we start seeing all the things that happen, especially things like this shooting in Uvalde and other things that just seem to be so hard and so difficult, I can't help but think, how do we get to this point? How did we get to this point? That question is just burning in me, in my heart. And the only answer that I can come up with is that the church is in isolation. We've isolated ourselves. God wants to be setting people free. He wants to be bringing healing into people's lives. He wants people to connect with His love. He wants people to understand that there is peace, that there is joy, that there is love, there is acceptance, there is healing, there is freedom. Yes, there is evil in the world. Yes, there's darkness in the world. Yes, things happen. But the church of Jesus Christ should be the beacon on a shining hill. We should be out there bringing Jesus' love. And stop limiting ourselves. We're so captivated by fear. We're afraid of what people are going to say. We're afraid of what people are going to think. We're afraid to open up our mouths and tell people about Jesus. But look, it's not just about telling people about Jesus. It's about living our life in such a way that brings glory and honor to God, number one. And number two, it's about serving others. That's what Jesus said. He said, if you are going to be my disciples, serve one another. He who desires to be the greatest in the kingdom, be the servant of all. Find ways to serve. And do it in the name of Jesus. Find ways to be the hands and feet of Jesus. There are practical ways. There are other ways. And in conversation, never walk into a conversation trying to get out of it, number one. Never walk into a conversation, number two, trying to tell them everything. Understand that there are God moments. And every moment is an opportunity for us to speak a word of life. And that word of life might just be, I'll be praying for you. Can we pray right now? Or, Jesus loves you. Or, I love you. Whatever it is that the Lord would lead you to say or do in that moment. But never try to just dominate conversations. Never try to just take over things. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. And then whenever somebody starts pouring out their guts to you and telling you all of the problems that they're having in life and all the things that are going on, you know, it's like this, I always joke, it's like whenever people ask, hey, how are you doing? They really don't want to know. You know, they really don't want to know. And so then when somebody actually starts telling you how they're doing, you're like, oh, yeah, so. All right, so what were we thinking about? What do we have to do today? Yeah. It's a God moment. It's a God moment.